Acts chapter 9, verse 17 through 22. If I feel that anything is going to happen, is that there is going to be a newness. That God is wanting to use new individuals within His kingdom. That is ones that you might not have ever been used of God. You might not have ever prayed for somebody with authority. You might not have ever stepped out and obeyed the prompting of your heart. I'm telling you tonight, you might have that prompting along with fear. Has anybody ever been scared? Anybody ever been fearful of doing something? Or am I the only one that had the fear run through me when it was time to step out and run around the church and I got that hot feeling on the inside? Anybody ever had that in company when you begin to step out? Amen? We're going to step out past that. Is that all right? And we're just going to begin to step into what God has already begun to release and what God has already established within our individual lives. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Now I want to remind you of the man that you are reading about right here. This is not Paul that had been 12 years in the ministry, had been polished and the rough edges knocked off of him. But we are reading of a man that just a couple of days before this was slaughtering Christians, hauling them out of their homes, purposely persecuting those that called on the name of Jesus. I want you to remember that this was not a polished man that God was beginning to orchestrate within his life. But then verse number 20, after he received his sight and was filled with the Holy Ghost, on his road to Damascus to haul more prisoners into the prison and to further thwart the kingdom of God, he receives this vision up on the road to Damascus, receives the Holy Ghost, falls from his eyes, receives meat, and was strengthened. And verse number 20 says, and straightway he preached. I want you to look at your neighbor right now and say, immediately he began to preach Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Notice, he did not preach anything other than that had been revealed to him on the road to Damascus. He didn't know anything else. But the one thing he knew was Christ as the Son of God. And he started preaching and ministering within the word that he had received and knew. I just want to stop right here and say, you might not know everything, but what you do know is enough to turn your world upside down. Is that all right? You might not have any great knowledge of the kingdom of God, and you might have fear that you might not be rightly dividing the word of truth, but you hear me right now. Your experience with God is enough to begin to turn your world upside down. And all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Is not this him? As they heard him preaching that was destroying us just a few days before. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. I want to preach to you from this title tonight. It all started with a step. It all started with a step. I want you to put your Bibles down, lift up your hands tonight. God, as you have done before, so do again. Lord, as you have allowed things to release as you have allowed your people to begin to move into an area that is built of you and prepared of you. I pray right now that there would be a release of miracles. I pray that ministries would be released. I pray that hopes would be released and callings would be released, God. I pray that confidence and faith in the name of Jesus Christ would be released within your precious name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and everybody shout amen tonight. Everybody shout amen tonight. Clap your hands unto the Lord as you're being seated. Hallelujah. Charles Kettering, the head of research of General Motors, said this: "You will never stub your toe standing still. The faster you go, the more chance there is of stubbing your toe, but the more chance you have of getting someplace." So Charles understood there is a relationship between advancement and discomfort. Everything that has been done has not been done by just a road of roses, but there has been difficulty along every road of progression. There have been failures along the road of progression. There have been mistakes along the road of progression. And Charles understood that if we're going to get someplace, it's going to be in the company of discomfort. It's going to be in the company of failure or embarrassment, because you will never get anywhere that you want to go without getting a few stubbed toes. Amen. Perfection today in my mind is the poison to blossoming potential. Perfection within our minds, believing that I have to have everything perfect in order to be used of God, is a falsehood within the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, only in the sense of past what we understand, is it perfect. But as far as faults and failures and ups and downs, the kingdom of God is not perfect within that state of mind. The kingdom of God has been used by men that were imperfect from the dawn of existence. But we have this mindset within us that if I am not perfect, then how can I be used? If I don't know everything about something, then if I don't have a natural tendency of a perfect fit, then I do not have it. I believe within our minds that we have this mindset unhealthily fixated upon perfection. And what that does is the thought process begins to flow through our minds. Fear that I'm not good enough. Doubt that what little I do have is not enough. Has anybody ever thought those thoughts before within your life? I want to be used of God, but I am afraid that who I am and what I am is not good enough to get what I feel pressing me within my spirit. You would not be the first one to ever say that within this world, but I want to tell you something. You do not have to be perfect in order to be used of God. I want to tell you right now, every man, woman, and child, your perfection is not the vehicle to get you to be used of God, but it is your availability. It is your desire of God. I might not have everything together, but what I do have is a desire that I be used of God in a way beyond my understanding.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is a release. You can't move
within this place, for I believe that I am preaching the heart of God tonight. I seek to dispel a misconception, a devastating deception, if you will, and that was this: before the start of the greatest revival our world has ever seen, God had to call an imperfect man, and that imperfect man's name was Paul. Who better than Paul, the greatest writer of 2/3 of the New Testament, studied under Gamaliel? Sure, he is intelligent and he is one of the greatest, but Paul was not perfect at the time that God called him. But when the Holy Ghost came upon him, God began to use an imperfect man. God began to take a man that wasn't worthy of being used and began to put his spirit upon him. And as Paul took a step, it catapulted him into the greatest revival that our world has ever known. And it all started with just one simple step. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight, because when Paul, if you read within the story, Paul wasn't walking with natural eyes when he went into that house or got to where he was going, but Paul walked in darkness. Why? Because his eyes, the Lord had blinded his eyes. Now, it's one thing to tell me to step out when I can see something. It's a whole nother thing to tell me to step out when all I see is darkness. But I want to share something with you right now. Every person in here that is desired to be used of God, you don't see how to get there. You're scared of the outcome. You're scared of the failure. But I promise you this, if you'll start stepping out by faith, there is a release within the Holy Ghost that is going to transpire across this entire congregation and across this entire community. If we just have a few that will begin to step out. I talked to a man the other day in the altar, Brother Pugh. As I was praying for him, he said, in his own words, I said, why haven't you gotten it yet? He said, I want the Holy Ghost. I want it so bad. He said, I've known that I've been called from a young age. He's a visitor that came into the church. I know that I've been called from a young age. I know that I'm supposed to be used of God. I know that there's supposed to be other things that happen within my life. He said, but I'm so scared. I'm so scared. I said, what are you scared of? He said, I know that it's the devil, but I'm so scared to fail. I am so scared to fail. I said, Bubba, you're going to fail. You're going to fail for the rest of your life, but you're going to succeed as well. I said, Paul said, I've got to die daily. We have all failed. I failed. This person's failed. This friend's failed. We have all failed. As he began to realize that failure wasn't going to disqualify him, tears began to run down his eyes, and he began to speak with another language as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. He is literally the key to begin to start a revival in a community that God had set up and divinely built. I believe that I am talking to individuals here tonight that you have desired and you have seen it. And we have seen it since the beginning of this year, Brother Pugh. That's why I'm feeling it hit within me. The Lord, everywhere that we have gone and been able to have had the privilege of preaching to, we have seen things happen that has never happened before. Not just things, but we've seen people be used that have never been used before.
more. I am telling you right now, I feel it under the undertow of the church. I feel it in my spirit. God, what do you want me to preach tonight? I want them to step out of their limitations. I want them to begin to put into action the seeds and the desires that I allowed them to feel a long time ago. There is a culmination that is coming. How many of you here this evening has felt a desire to be used of God in a way that you have not yet been used of Him? I want you to raise your hand up high. You have felt to be used of God in a certain way, but you've never been used of this. It's been amazing. I've been going around and talking to pastors, and I say, who was that that gave the message in tongues? He said, it was Sister So-and-so. This is over in Mississippi. This is Sister So-and-so. I said, no, it wasn't her. It was a young girl that was standing right in front of me that gave the message in tongues. He said, I don't even know who she is. As he began to research, he said, oh my God, she has never been used in giving a message in tongues ever before in her life. It's happened time and time. The ones that are supposed to give interpretations, God is shutting their mouth to make way for a new people, for ones that have never been used before. It is coming and it is here. God is wanting to use. Let me justify what I am saying with that. It does not mean that God is never going to use those that have been used in His Spirit before, but I have felt it in myself. I feel no interpretation, and it's because the Lord is saying, I want to speak through a new voice. I want somebody else that's never been used before to step out and obey what my Spirit is prompting them to do. We have seen young men and young ladies, and then the last place we were, it blew my mind because I felt new ones. Brother Pugh, I did not feel young ones. It is not a youth thing. It is a new thing. Why? Because an elderly woman sitting on the right-hand side of the church, in this seat right here, in equivalence to the church, we have a message that is given in tongues. Over on the left side, in fact, it was a daughter and a mother. And the daughter was scared and she started giving it. And she stopped it and it switched over into the mother. And she started giving the message again. She had already given it though. God was trying to use that daughter to speak out. And as we waited, I got behind the pulpit and I said, God's wanting to use somebody new. Go ahead, if you feel something in your spirit, I want you to begin to speak out. And we waited there. Now, there's no more nerve-wracking thing when you speak something in faith and then wait for something to happen. And so I waited, and I waited, and I was trying to figure out how I was going to dig myself out of that one. When all of a sudden, a little old voice over here on the right lifted up her voice and said, I am taking you to a new place. I am taking you to a new place, for I know your destiny, saith the Lord. And I said, I went over to her afterwards and I said, I talked to the leadership. I said, has she ever been used in that before? He said, I'm sure she has at her age, I'm sure. I went over and I knelt down with her and I said, hun, I said, have you ever been used in that way before? She started crying, big old tears, and she said, no, I'm sorry that it wasn't very much. I said, you've never been used like that before. She said, no, but I've wanted to for all my life. She said, I'm sorry that it was only a couple lines. I couldn't feel anything else. At probably 80, 85 years of age, having a desire for all her life, desiring to be used of God. At 85 years of age, there was just a small little weak step of faith that began to walk out in the middle of discouragement and doubt. But folks, let me tell you, what's your small, seemingly little insignificant step begins to do? Any step of faith releases the power of God to move.
We're thinking, folks, hear me right now. Is this all right? We're thinking, if I'm going to be used of God, I got to make a big jump. Perfect landing. It looked good, didn't it? And many times we never step out because we say, this step isn't significant. What could this step do? I'll tell you what a small little weak step of faith will do. When a woman dealing with the issues of blood, imperfect, shouldn't have had access to anything of the things of God at that point. Never access to the presence, because if there was any sickness or deformity, they were not allowed into the tabernacle. But here's this little old lady that has an issue of blood and imperfection. And all she does is just take a small little step of faith and touch the hem of his garment. God doesn't care about big steps or little steps. All God cares about is that there is a step of faith that releases the miraculous to begin to happen. God is wanting that to begin to happen in this house. And there are those of you that raised your hand that said, I've wanted to be used of God. I want you to raise your hand again if you've wanted to be used of God. Raise your hand up high. I want to be used of him. I want to be used. Brother Pugh, it is within me. I want to see the healing power of God begin to transform a body. I want to see that begin to happen. And the Lord spoke this to me. Nobody's going to get healed unless you begin to speak the word of faith. But God, what happens if nothing takes place? Who cares? Whose reputation are you trying to save anyways? God's saying, if you want to be used, it's going to start with a small step of faith. See, we want to do it backwards with God. We're waiting for something spectacular to happen before we take a step. But let me tell you how these things begin to transpire. Columbia, Mississippi. We're sitting in a living room. And I'm preaching about stepping out. Talking to them about stepping out. Hyphen age group in a living room. No drums, no music, no pressing, no prompting. I just said, get ready to step out. And a girl sitting across the way from me, the coffee table, began to weep and began to cry. And you could feel that something was building up within her. In the next few moments, she said, I almost didn't do it. Because of fear. Because I was scared. In the next few moments, she began to lift up her voice and give such an on-key prophetic word that that whole place is still talking about it to this day. Why?
Because she took a small little step of faith. 20 years of age, maybe. But it was new. It was raw. It wasn't perfect, Brother Pugh. She stuttered around a whole lot. She had to stop and gather herself a few times during the midst of it. But she kept speaking out. And we felt the Holy Ghost fall within that house, all because she was willing to step out past what she had always done before. Hear me right now. In order to see something that we have never seen before, we're going to have to start doing something that we have never done before. Who wants to be? Raise your hand one more time. There are healings that are ready to take place through your prayer. There are people that will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost as you are standing next to them and laying your hands upon them. You're not giving it to them, but your faith is beginning to project it and beginning to build it around them. You've wanted to be used before. I want you to raise your hand, and I want you to raise that other hand. And for the next little bit, I want you to close your eyes. Every single one of you that has said, I want something different. I want to be used in a way that I have never been used before. I want to taste something that I have yearned. Hear me right now, folks. It doesn't happen on the front end. It doesn't happen on the front end. It happens on the back end. Hebrews chapter 11 says this in 11 and 34. Of the heroes of faith, it says, they quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong and waxed valiant in fight and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Every step of faith, every recording of faith, of the evidence of faith is what happened afterwards, not what happened before. Folks, I'm telling you right now, there is healing within your prayers. There are miracles within your prayers. There is a God. Just wanting a simple little weak vessel to flow through. I want you to raise your hand if you're weak or you feel that you are weak. Raise your hand. I'll raise my hand. I don't feel like I'm. Out of weakness, we're made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. David, when he's taken off, I don't think that David had a word from the Lord, did he? The Lord didn't speak to him and tell him to defeat that giant. He didn't tell him how to do it either, because what David had was good enough. David, go ahead and start playing, Sister Melanie, wherever you're at. Whenever you get ready, just go ahead and step up here. The way the giant fell was not understood when David started out. David just hopped out by faith and a little bit of attitude. Who is thou that thou wouldest defy the armies of the living God? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would dare come against us? A little bit of attitude. But he walked out there and he said, take no fear. Let not thine heart fear. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And notice, David doesn't get the ammunition till he's in process. And we're waiting to feel something before we step out. And it's not going to happen. Not by faith. You're going to start stepping out in knowledge. Paul said, I know I've got to go to the street called Straight. And I don't have any eyes, but I've got to get there. And if I stumble, if I fall into a rock along the way, it doesn't matter, because I've got to get to that place that God told me that I would go. It was in the middle of him finding his way. When he got there after the step of faith was when he received his sight and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And David, as he's on his way to it, comes across a small stream and kneels down. He's already started his way toward it, but he kneels down and scoops out 5 smooth stones, because God will always give you the way through once you start into it. There are healings within your tongue. But I've never been called to preach, Brother Pugh. I don't have a pulpit ministry. We associate healing and the operation of God with a pulpit ministry. But it was never like that. The healing and the operation of God came with his Spirit. And whosoever that has his Spirit has the ability to release his Spirit. And there are healings. I can't get it out of my mind. There are healings within your tongue. There are some of you here tonight in that desire and that hunger. There is going to be an operation that begins to come out of you like you could have never imagined if you'll just begin to step out and not worry about your failure and not worry about the what ifs and the maybes and the reasoning. But as you begin to step out as a man and a woman, young man and a young woman, there's healings in your mouth. You realize that? You believe that? There's healings in your mouth. I want you to close your eyes, lift up your hands.